At KPMG, our people make the difference. It's not just something we say, it's what we do. Combining the power of people and technology, we uncover brighter insights, innovate bolder solutions, and create better data-driven outcomes. KPMG, make the difference.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Hey, it's State of State. We got your Nittany Line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin, so kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. Major League Baseball, golf, the NBA, and NHL playoffs especially. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. State of State is presented by BetOnline. The game starts here. Are you looking for a higher potential return on your savings? Turn to our sponsor, Save. As an SEC-registered investment advisor, Save safely combines the best parts of saving and investing with its market savings program. Market savings is a savings product that provides you with market returns instead of interest. The returns come from diversified investment portfolios based on your individual investment profile. The return from the investments is paid to you at the end of the selected investment term. But investing comes with risk, right? Well, with Save, your deposit is FDIC insured and never used for any investments. The current variable APYs are 9.07% for the one-year product and 7.9% for the five-year product. So what does this cost you? Well, Save only charges a fee when your investments make you money. To learn more or to sign up, visit joinsave.com/state. That's joinsave.com/state. The link to the website is in the description of this podcast. State of State invites you to join Save. Joining us this week on State of State, former Penn State offensive lineman Landon Tangwall to talk all things about what's going on with the current Penn State football team. The NFL draft is coming up this weekend. A lot of movement with NIL, the NCAA making some changes as of late. There's a lot of exciting stuff to dive into. As always, follow us on social media, X, Instagram, and TikTok at State of State Pod. Like, comment, subscribe, rate us, turn on notifications, all that stuff. Landon, thank you for being a friend of the show. The last time that we had you on here, I believe you were still a part of the team. And then unfortunately, shortly thereafter, you had to medically retire from football. So I'm sure the world is curious. How are you feeling from a health standpoint? And how are things now that you've dove into sports media?
Yeah, Tom, I appreciate that. I'm doing really well from a health standpoint. Everything's good. And, you know, very manageable. So that's good to have a clean bill of health from that standpoint. But yeah, I'm a broadcast journalism major, and obviously I retired in August, and it, you know, took a little bit of time for myself, but started to really get into the media side of things. And anybody who's followed Penn State media very closely knows that I always love to be involved. I'm on your guys' show. I think I was on Tyler Donahue's show like 15 times. I would take any podcast or radio show that was available to me, because I just wanted to create those relationships and create those connections and really connect with the fans too. That was something that I was, you know, really big on. And I felt like there wasn't enough of that, especially in college sports. Now, obviously, NIL kind of helps bridge that gap a little bit, but kind of, so this led me to starting doing a Sunday show. So in October, I was working with Keystone Sports Radio. They're a radio show that kind of goes all throughout Pittsburgh, PA and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, all that stuff. And so I started out just doing a recap show, recapping the games, talking over some scheme stuff. And it was pretty simple. That was for about 2 or 3 months. And then started to talk to some folks over at Fox Penn State, a couple other places. Like, hey, man, you should start your own thing. Like, we love you. You're doing a good job. The people are responding well to it. Start your own podcast. So that kind of took me, and I didn't realize how much work all this all takes, man. Getting everything in order, from having, you know, an editing crew to having a place to film. It's a lot. But I think sometimes people say, you know, I just have a podcast. But what I'm doing is much more than a podcast. I run a media company. And so each week I have two podcasts that go out. I still do the Sunday podcast, where I'm talking Penn State football, talking NIL, transfer portal. It's very college football, Penn State football centric. Then each week now, in the studio that I am in, I bring on a player, a letterman, a Penn State staff member, a media member. Sometimes I'm trying to get as many people on that fans haven't heard from recently. So I'm working on some really cool guests, but I just put out my first one with Nick Dawkins last week. I'm about to actually record the other one here in a couple of hours. But I'm trying to line up some really cool guests. And the biggest thing with what I'm trying to do with this podcast specifically is, when I bring on, like I said, a coach, a letterman, a player, a lot of times, and I think in the Penn, and you guys do a great job. Shout out you guys. Absolutely. You guys killing over there. But okay, I think a lot of times when you're on with these, you know, not to call them out, because they all love me, we have a great relationship, but Nate Bauer, Audrey Snyder, all those people, it's very like interrogative. You're not sitting down and actually learning a ton. They're just trying to get you on kind of gotcha questions. And the fans don't get to take away a whole lot, in my opinion, from how I see it. So when I bring guys on, we're talking a little bit about football, and we'll talk Penn State football for a little bit of the show. But my main focus is, hey, let's talk about, how did you come up? What was your upbringing like? How were your parents involved? What sports did you play coming up? Like, I want these fans to be able to connect with the players. And like I said, bridge that gap where you're not thinking of these guys, hey, these guys are gods. You know, they think they're otherworldly, whatever. No, we're normal dudes, just like you, just like the rest of the fans. And I think when you get to hear just, you know, what do they eat? What do they do on an off day? And you're like, hey, I do the same thing as them. We're pretty normal. These guys are normal dudes. They just hang out, have fun, whatever, play golf, whatever their hobbies are outside of football. That's kind of what I'm trying to do and connect the fan base with the players. So not only through the podcast, but then I'm doing some other really cool stuff where I am taking players and doing kind of specialty videos. We're either doing eating contests, we're doing football related. I can't give it all out because I got some videos in the works right now. But I will say it's actually coming out shortly. I took Anthony Donka, our starting right tackle, to Chick-fil-A. I brought him back here to the studio, and we sat down, we opened up the bag, and this dude put away some serious calories. I can't give the exact number, but it was over 3,000. Yeah, 3,000 calories in one sitting at Chick-fil-A. I can't give out the exact what food it was. You'll have to come tune in to Landon Tangwall on YouTube and check it out. But it's coming out in the next couple of days. So that, and I sat down with him while he was eating, and we kind of did a light interview. But those are the type of videos I think are really fun, because you just get to see a different side of guys, and they're a little more relaxed. I think that is also the cool part about the position that I'm in. A lot of these guys I have really good relationships with, so I am able to, I think, get a little bit more out of them from a standpoint of them being open and wanting to share about their lives, about how their upbringing, and, you know, other things they like to do. And I think it's hard sometimes when either there's a huge age gap or you don't really know the person, you're a lot less likely to share those more intimate things. That's kind of what I've been getting into. I'm also in the NIL realm a little bit, not like Justin King over here. He's killing the game, but I'm trying to get involved a little bit. I have some really good relationships with places downtown and State College. So I've kind of acted as a go-between with these businesses and the players, trying to set up different events. I just did an event at Campus Steaks where I came in and brought in a camera crew. We shot, you know, a ton of footage. I had a great signing, and had the fans out there the night before blue and white. It was really fun. It was electric, and We had Pew Street turned all the way up at Campus Steaks. So hoping to do a lot more of that type of stuff with the players. But, it's not just podcasts. Like I said, I'm trying to do a million different things, and there's other stuff I got in the works that I can't really talk about yet, but I'm really excited to get into. So a lot's ahead for me, and I'm excited. And, you know, if you're interested in following anything I do, I think it's going to be a lot of new and unique content that has not been put out there, especially with our players and seeing a different side of them. So if you want to check any of that out, I'm Landon Tangwall on every platform, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter. Just type in Landon Tangwall. We're pumping out content. We got more of the short form content if you want to see some of those shorter clips over on Twitter and TikTok. And then we'll have the full videos posted on YouTube at Landon Tangwall. So check it out. It's having a good time over there and hopefully getting a lot of guys involved, former Letterman. And I'm excited about it.
You're making the transition very, like, making it look really easy, which is congratulations on that, especially when your career comes to a halt like that. Mm-hmm. We had Journey Brown on earlier, and he just talked about that process of finding yourself and realizing, you know, you have something to offer to life, right? And it's very interesting that, I mean, it's empowering that you were able to find that such in a close space to football. A lot of times you want to distance yourself from football. Mm-hmm. Or you go full in and you just want to talk about the details of it because you want to bring some value to everything that you learned. For you to want to connect the individual player with the fan, I think is a different perspective for a lot of players, especially to facilitate that for other players. Mm. What was the motivation for that for you outside of just the NIL hoopla that's going on? Have you seen like a gap that needs to be filled? Because there's a lot of NIL activity going on in Penn State ecosystem, and it seems like you're coming in and filling a gap that seems to be uniquely curated and authentic to the student body, which is yourself.
Yeah, I think first off with that, I have to credit the Penn State family, the Penn State community. It was an unbelievable amount of support from business owners to former players to current players to Coach Franklin, all the guys. They were fantastic, and you know, whatever I needed, they had my back. I had a lot of late night conversations with dudes like Journey, Letterman that have kind of been through similar stuff where they either had to retire in college or in the NFL. You know, at the end of the day, it all hurts the same. It's eventually it comes to an end, and it doesn't really matter how long you've played. It's going to be difficult. So having those people to kind of lean on in that situation was just unforgettable. And I will forever be grateful that I chose Penn State and to come to Penn State and play for Coach James Franklin. From a standpoint of kind of seeing the opportunity, this happened a while back. When I was still playing last after the Rose Bowl, I was looking around and I'm like, man, NIL is lacking so hard here at Penn State. Like, we need some help now. So I went over to the NIL guys and I'm like, get me involved with these collectives. Obviously, this is still when we don't even think there's an inkling of stuff coming in-house from a standpoint of NIL collectives being a third party right now. And it's looking like we can get into that, but probably going to go away here very shortly. And so I got involved with Lions Legacy and Success with Honor, the two collectives at the time. And I was just helping out as much as possible and organizing, planning events, getting guys to events and still connecting guys with businesses downtown. So I was kind of already doing that a little bit, but I was so busy, obviously, still trying to start and get everything going as far as football. So I couldn't put too much time into that. It was really more of a spring summer thing when football wasn't full tilt. So when everything happened, I saw a unique opportunity. I said, you know, I want to get into the media space. I think I have the personality for it. And I try to be a film junkie and just have as much knowledge that I want to spread and really inform people where people are coming away from whatever I do. And they're saying, hey, I just learned something from what he's doing. So I think that was the first, in my eyes, it was kind of a need here at Penn State where we don't really have, I mean, obviously state media is doing a good job, but we don't have real young cats out there doing what I'm doing now, bringing guys on and having these conversations where, like I said, we're getting a lot out of these guys and the fans are actually learning, like truly learning about these dudes. It's not just coach speak where you're asking them, hey, how's the offense doing this year? And they say, yeah, it's going to be explosive, blah, blah, blah. We've heard it a million times. I don't even ask those questions really because there's no purpose of it, in my opinion, because I have given answers a million times that I did not mean at all. I'll say that right now. I mean, it's the truth of it. And that's why, I mean, reporters always try to get people slipping, but if you're good, you're always going to get that coach speak. So that's another area where I said, hey, I think I can come in and really provide a unique opportunity to these fans and say, you know, hey, I have something different over here that no one else has. Come over here, come to my channel, come to my, you know, YouTube, Twitter, whatever. You're going to learn something and you're going to almost, you know, feel more connected to these guys and to the program. Because now when, you know, I sit down with whoever, defensive lineman Denai, and he has a strip sack on Saturday and wins the game. Not only did he do that and he won the game for the team, but it's, hey, I heard about his background. I heard whatever, any struggles he had coming up, or I'm just using it as an example, but that, you know, so when you see those guys succeed on the field, it's a little more personal now. And that wasn't an opportunity before NIL. I think like back when you played, Justin, I mean, you guys were just, people didn't even really know what you guys looked like because you just had a helmet on. And outside of that, like they knew your number, but there was no like personalities involved with it. So I think we have such good guys on the team, and we go to these events now and all I hear is, oh my gosh, these are just the greatest guys ever. I want to be around them more. How can we see more of the players? So that's the type of stuff that really motivated me to get into this. And then a standpoint of from what I'm doing, kind of facilitating NIL, I think it's really messy right now. I think it's hard with the collectives. We don't know where we're going, what the future is going to be with NIL. But I'm sitting here. I'm like, you know, I have the opportunity to go to these businesses and say, hey, I can help you. Because the downtown, man, they don't have any connection to the players. They're saying, hey, I would love to do stuff with the players, but how? And I'm saying, look no further right here. I got you. I'll bring you these cats. And obviously, you know, they gotta pay them, but yeah. I'm gonna get you that info. I'm setting it up. I made all the flyers, I'm making the postings, you know, making sure the guys are going to be there on time, being the communicator. I'm kind of doing all that to making sure that everything is set up correctly. But then also from another standpoint of it is, hey, I'm coming too, and I can provide content for your business as well. I'm coming with my cameraman. We're going to bring some mics. We'll shoot some cool videos, some cool promos with the guys, and we'll get a whole recap of the whole event, whatever we're doing, a signing, a meet and greet, whatever it is. So I just think overall, there is a really cool, unique opportunity that I saw, just an opportunity to be filled. I'm like, there's just a huge gap, especially being in state college, because I'm here for at least another year and I see myself being here longer. A lot of these cats that are doing stuff, a lot of it's over Zoom. And I think we know as that's kind of what people are used to and accustomed to. I think COVID made that pretty normalized. But at the end of the day, nothing beats sitting down in a studio and being next to someone. You can't replicate that type of emotion and feel when you're with someone. So I think me being in state college with these guys also gives me a huge leg up. So, that's to answer your question. I saw a huge gap in the media, in my opinion. And like I said, there's some cats, you guys in state media doing a good job kind of bringing guys on. But I just think it's what I'm doing is it's just a little different. And it's new, and I think it can get the fans really excited. And also, I love Penn State, man. I'm a Penn Stater for life, and these dudes, they're my dogs. I love all of them in the locker room, and I want to help them out. I'm trying to get them NIL deals downtown or anywhere in state college. So if I can, you know, continue to boost my brand but also help these cats, that makes me so excited because I'm helping out. I'm still contributing in some way to the team. So that's kind of how I looked at it and kind of just went full tilt. And I'm just in the beginning of this. I pretty much just started posting videos and short form content to my social medias about a week, maybe a week and a half ago, but it's taken off. And we're looking to pump out a couple videos a week with clips out on social medias and stuff like that. And hopefully we just keep growing and we're able to do a lot more cool stuff in the future.
For those that haven't already checked it out, Behind the Wall is the podcast. It's on YouTube. The link to the podcast is in the description of this episode of State of State if you want to check it out. And also, you should definitely check out Landon, the stuff he's doing with our friends at Blue White Illustrated, my guy Thomas Frank Carr. You do some awesome work. Landon, to talk about the current team just a little bit, and I mentioned some of the stuff you're doing with T. Frank, you do really good film breakdowns. There's a lot of turnover, obviously, specifically in your department in terms of the offensive line. I've heard a lot of buzz about Cooper Cousins. And there's still a lot of moving parts on that offensive line. But can you articulate why Cousins is shining so early as a true freshman? Like that doesn't happen often at that position.
Yeah, the first thing is he is massive. He's strong, and he came in college ready. I think a lot of times when you're looking at guys coming in, it's, hey, what do we need to do to get them ready? How much weight? How much stronger do they need to get in the weight room? Do they need to get with the nutritionist and pack on a ton of weight there? Are they really behind from a playbook standpoint? If they didn't go to a higher level school, did they just run wing T the whole time? Do we need to work on his pass pro? Like that type of thing. All that stuff, Cooper Cousins checks the box off. I mean, I've sat down with him in the film room multiple times. He is very smart. He understands the playbook. And then he is absolutely just massive. And he's strong in the weight room. And kind of what you just call college ready coming out of high school. And I don't at all want to toot my own horn, but he really does remind me a little bit of myself because I came in, I worked out 24/7.
That's good. That's good. You were the starting guard.
Yeah. So I did. I felt like I was college ready right away coming in. And that's what I see with him. And not only all that physical stuff, and like I said, and also in the film room and understanding the plays and the playbook, but he's just very mature. You know, when you're around dudes and they're kind of, especially freshmen, they're always doing dumb stuff around the locker room and just messing around and not always doing the right stuff. Like this dude gets it. He's a culture guy. So I think this is also someone I could see eventually being a big time leader, a team captain. Obviously a young offensive line group here led by Nick Dawkins, who is starting at center. And we saw Cooper get some play at center, at guard in the spring game. And I think also him being really versatile, that's huge for an offensive lineman. Because when you're speaking of, example, an NFL GM, when they are looking at these offensive line prospects, it's, hey, how many positions can this dude play? Because we can only hold 7 or 8 linemen on the active roster during a season. If I have a dude that can play center and guard, and then another dude that plays tackle and guard, that starts to kind of fill up those roster holes, and you don't have to have, just a center and then a guard and a tackle. I got dudes that can play everything. So I think that's one of the things that Cooper does really well. He has that versatility because he's a 6'5", 315-pound center, which is, absolutely massive for being a center. That's big. I mean, we've had some big centers, and Nick Dawkins is 6'4", about 310. But he's even a little bit bigger than Nick. So I think Cooper is going to do really well, and I would not be shocked at all to see him get some good playing time here early in the season when we're playing a little bit of those lesser opponents. And who knows? Offensive linemen in the Big Ten, you do not – whatever you start the season with, you do not end the season with those same guys. I mean, it is so rare to have that same starting five. So to have depth, to have a young cat like Cooper Cousins – that can fill that role at guard, at center. If there's any type of injuries or someone's lacking, he can step in. I think that's big for Coach Trout in this offensive line. So I'm excited to see how he progresses. And I think this summer is really big for him and a lot of guys. You can, the summertime, you have the most free time. You have the whole month of May off. You can go one or two directions. You can take some time off and chill, kick your feet up and relax. Or you can get after it, and that shows the decision you make there. That shows come August and fall camp. So, but Cooper Cousins is an absolute elite talent, number one center in his class, and like I said, I think we'll see him early on in Beaver Stadium.
State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money.
With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You mentioned NFL GMs. The NFL draft is kicking off this weekend. It's been interesting because Justin and I did some stuff for Believe and Reach TV recently. We were talking about Olufashinu and Chop Robinson as possible, very likely first-round draft picks. And there continues to be this narrative from the outside world, more the national media. It's like, well, Chop didn't have the production this past season, that Olu's hands are too small. Like, there's just these crazy things that, like, for those of us that are Penn Staters, like, yes, we're biased, but we watched every snap these guys played at Penn State. And then for a guy like Justin, what Chop did at the University of Maryland. Can you articulate why Fashanu and Chop are definitely first round picks?
Yeah, I actually just put out a tweet the other day because I did both of their film breakdowns. They're both on my YouTube, Olu and Chop, if you want to go check it out. And I said Chop is absolutely no doubt in my mind a first rounder. And someone in the comment section was like, don't say that. You don't ever want to give an absolute as a media member. And I said, look, I'm comfortable doing that because that's how confident I am that he's going in the first round. Look back to Jason Owe. I don't think he had any sacks the year that he was leaving for the draft. And the Ravens take him, like, I think it was 29th or 30th. It's, to me, it is all about these NFL teams and these GMs are saying, hey, who has the highest ceiling and what can we sculpt them into? And when you look at a dude like Chop, who has absolutely absurd burst, insane bend. I mean, the way that this dude can position his body and still stay upright is absolutely absurd. I don't think there's any way he makes it out of the first round. Cause if I'm a GM, I'm looking at that and saying, hey, what his little things, like his hands aren't exactly the best. He doesn't have a ton of defined pass rush moves, but we can work on that. I can't get someone that runs a 4.49, can bend like Chop and can explode off the ball like Chop. I don't think there's anybody else in the draft that's really like that. I think the cat from UCLA, I'm drawing a blank on his name. It's like Latutu, something like that. He has really defined hands, and I think he's going to go high, a little bit higher in the first round. But it's one of those trade-offs. Hey, do I want someone now that is a little bit more defined and is defined in their pass rush moves and understands a little bit more? Or do I want someone that is just an athletic freak and that I can sculpt into exactly what we want? So, I think that is the reason why Chop Robinson will absolutely go in the first round. His athletic ability is bar none, I think, the best in the draft from a defensive end standpoint. And then kind of similar with Olu here too. Someone who kind of came out of nowhere. Penn State fans weren't really expecting him to just take over. And that was the fun thing for us. We went through spring ball after the Outback Bowl in 2021. The following spring ball, Olu was locking dudes down. He was a completely different dude. It was like he just changed overnight, had this incredible strength to anchor, was great with his hands. And then obviously we know what happened that next season. He took off and could have left last year for the NFL draft, but decided to come back for another year, graduate. And I think first off, that speaks to his, how his parents brought him up. He was saying, hey, I want to get this degree. And by the way, he was a really smart dude, kept a 4.0 the whole time. He was in supply chain management. We're not talking, I'm taking broadcast journalism courses over here, guys. And I'm saying after practice, all right, I'm about to go back. I'm going to kick my feet up. He's like, yeah, I got 3 hours of homework to go handle. I'm like, hey, you enjoy that, brother. I'm going to stick with my 400-word essay assignment from my journalism teacher.
I have that same degree on my wall. And
yeah, exactly. Oh, hopefully, yeah, I'll have mine up shortly. But Olu's hanging up that supply chain management. So he is a really smart cat. And I just think his ceiling is higher than any offensive tackle in this draft. And we've seen there was a big debate, him or Joe Alt from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like Joe Alt just kind of took off. And Olu was kind of a forethought with some people, which I thought was so – I mean, obviously, like you said, we have that bias. And I played next to the dude. I played against him in high school. I love him. I love his family. So I do have some bias. But I just don't understand Olu dropping. And some people have him in the late teens now. I just don't think – one, I don't think he's going to make it that far, because when you look at this dude – he is a prototypical NFL left tackle. He, you know, struggles a little bit in run game and with his bend a little bit, but his pass pro mechanics are just so elite. He is so defined with his use of independent hands, and independent hands is kind of using that left hand and then that right hand, or right hand and then left hand. You see a lot of guys do that two-hand punch, and that has kind of become a little obsolete in the world of offensive line play, because you see these defensive linemen, all they train against are these dummies that have two hands sticking out. So all they're doing is training against two hands. Why would you continue to give them two hands? So now he is really good at being patient with those hands and giving them something that they think they have, and then he just takes it away. So not only his hands, but his anchor is one of the best anchors I have seen. I saw a couple people say that they're worried about his anchor. And that's when I'm like, dude, these cats are not watching the film. It makes me so mad sometimes that maybe you watch just one game and they're just writing conclusions about a player. I think someone referenced the Ohio State game where JT Tuilomo, I'm sorry, I butchered that name. JT, if you want to give it, but you know, the defensive end from Ohio State, he gave Olu a little bit of trouble on a couple snaps. But outside of that, Olu barely allowed a pressure all year. So I think it's unfair to look at one game's tape and draw conclusions about a guy. So I think some people just went to the Ohio State tape because it was one of the bigger games and said, okay, he can't anchor, which I have seen him anchor in some very uncanny positions that guys should not be able to anchor in and just lock some dudes down. So I think they're both going to be fantastic NFL vets just from a standpoint of their athletic ability. And like I said, NFL GMs look at this and say, hey, there's both of these dudes' ceilings are just so high. We can sculpt them into what we need them to be. Let's just get these guys on a roster, because other dudes, they might be a little bit more defined right now. But the NFL, it's all about in the future, man. What are you going to look like 5 years from now? And I easily see Chop Robinson being top three in NFL in sacks, and Olu Fashanu locking down for an elite quarterback and being his blindside tackle. And one more thing about Chop, you we're playing a game now where it's elite quarterbacks. It's Mahomes, Josh Allen fell off a little bit, but it's about these quarterbacks. And you know, in 4 minutes left in the game, what do you need to do? You need to disrupt the quarterback. You need to get after Mahomes. You need to get after Lamar, any of these guys. And how do you do that? You go get you a guy like Chop Robinson, who has insane burst, insane bend, can really beat a tackle off the ball, especially late in the game when you're tired. It makes too much sense for me if you are a team that is in the 20s and you need a pass rusher, because if you're in the 20s, you're in the playoffs, you're competing. Go get you a Chop Robinson that can disrupt a game late in the game. He can get after a quarterback and really wreak some havoc. I don't know. I guess, like I said, it might be a little biased, but I'm taking Chop Robinson if I'm DN needy and I'm in those 20s in the NFL draft here in the first round.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you make a great point with all the projections with the offensive linemen going into the NFL. What do you think of your projection of the Penn State football team going into next season? I know last year was a lot of expectations of, you know, what, like whether going to the playoffs and the different teams, and you did a great job just breaking down, you know, the ceiling of the NFL prospects. So let's like transition that GM hat to college. And now let's look at the Penn State guys and your homeboys. what type of gaps have the guys that have left, whether it's Daquan, Day-Day, or this, both the same person, Kalen, and
Johnny Dixon, Johnny, yeah, those guys.
Then everybody else that we said, like the different holes that need to be filled before, what do you think has to happen for Penn State to be successful moving forward?
I think first looking at the defense, I think it's still going to be a lot of the same. I think we're going to rely on this defense. I think they're going to be a top three defense again. And obviously you mentioned we're losing some of those defensive backs, but brought in a lot of competition. And it looks like right now we got five or six guys that are fighting for those two cornerback positions right now. And one thing about competing, and when you have guys that are all capable of starting, it creates great depth. So later in the season, injuries, you got guys that you can just plug in, and you know, you don't realize how important that is until you need it. You're not that worried about it until you got two cornerbacks out sick or out with a little injury. And now I need two young cats to come in, Zion Tracy and Cam Miller in the Outback. I mean, excuse me, in the Peach Bowl. And it was a rough day when you got two young cornerbacks making their first start. So, you know, I think that is going to be big, seeing how Jalen Kimber, AJ Harris had a really good spring game, seeing how these guys develop, like I said, along with those younger cats, and who comes out as those two emerges as those two starting cornerbacks. But it looks like we have a lot of guys competing at that position. I don't think they're at the same caliber as Johnny Dixon and Kalen King, but I think they can hold down the fort with having now Jalen Reed, Kevin Winston, and Zaki Wheatley all on the field at once. And I kind of talked to Tom Allen a little bit about this. He said, I came in and I said, there is no way I can't have all three of these dudes on the field at once. We have to figure out a way because they are all too special. Zaki Wheatley sitting on the bench just doesn't make sense. He could start for any other team in America, and he is a ball hawk. So found a way, obviously moving Jalen Reed to that nickel position, that nickel cornerback, what we call the lion here at Penn State, and allowing him to kind of roam around a little bit, be near the line of scrimmage, and a little bit of a bigger body facing those tight ends that line up in the slot. So I think that's good. It's a little less of a mismatch for someone like Day-Day, who didn't care about size. He was still locking dudes down. But losing three cornerbacks can be difficult, but we got the guys to handle that. Tom Allen's playing to his strengths, man. He's going to run a lot of a 4-2 defense. So Jalen Reed kind of taking away one of those outside linebackers, and Jalen Reed coming down, playing in that, like I said, that slot nickel position. And now you have Abdul Carter, so coming down to defensive ends. You say, hey, that linebacking group is starting to become a little bit of a weakness, losing Abdul to defensive line. How do we fix this? All right, let's go more of a 4-2 defense. We have Kobe King, who I think is criminally underrated, is just so solid in the middle of that defense and leads the team in tackles every single time. And then young Tony Rojas, where it is time for Tony to be the face of this defense and be a star. And I do think that is one of the big themes to this year, whether it's someone coming into year two or year three. There are a ton of guys that didn't have a lot of pressure on them last year to perform. And they had good performances. Denai, Tony, Kevin Winston, a bunch of these young dudes. Well, now you guys are the stars. It is all on your back. And we kind of saw that a little bit. I love Kalen King, but struggled a little bit after. If he could have left after his second year, I think he would have went, you know, day one, day two, but had a little bit of more of a rough year and didn't have the year anybody thought he'd have. And now obviously looking to go a little bit later in the draft, I'm kind of looking at these guys the same way. Now it's time for you to really step up. It's your year to perform. Mm-hmm. Can these guys step up to the plate? Because we know it's a lot easier to perform when those expectations are not on you. When you're, that's why we see a lot of these fourth, fifth round draft picks. It's so easy for them because they're not expected to come in and start right away like these first round draft picks. So I think that's a big theme for the defense specifically. Can these second and third year guys that are really stepping into these big leadership roles, can they handle it? And are they going to be the same guys that we saw last year when they didn't have those expectations on them? Looking at the offensive side, I think we know what we need to do. Drew needs help from his playmakers. We know what we have in Tyler Warren. I think Khalil Dinkins is going to be a really good tight end number two. He showed some really good flashes, had a couple touchdowns last year, and we know how much we like to use those two tight end sets. So, I think there's still depth. We keep reloading at that tight end position. Ty Howell is absolutely killing it. Looking out at the wide receivers, Drew needs someone to help him out. I've watched this Michigan game back over four or five times, and anybody that blames that game on Drew Aller, I'm sorry. I have news for you. It really was not his fault. There was multiple times these wide receivers were in the same place. And if you know anything about wide receiver play, you do not want your wide receivers 2 feet away from each other. That means someone messed up. So I think they're in that game. And you could, if you really watch it, you start to see Drew lose some trust in his wide receivers because they were not in the right places at the right times. And when you start to, in a big game, you can't depend on your guys and you start to get shook a little bit. It is really difficult to be delivering some dimes. And you remember that fourth and six that we went for it. And Drew just threw it over the middle to nobody. And everybody's like, what the hell was that? What is he doing? He didn't just do that. There was some miscommunication. Guys were not in the right place at the right time. So, you know, not putting a ton. I don't want to blame the wide receivers, but it is time for someone to step up and help Drew out. We saw what Kyle McCord had. We saw what J.J. McCarthy had. They had dudes that could bail them out when they weren't giving their wide receivers or their tight ends the best ball. They didn't have to have elite ball placement every time because these dudes were helping them out. So I think that's the big theme. Can these wide receivers help Drew Aller out? I really don't think Drew is a huge problem. I'm not that worried about him. He is a quarterback that took care of the ball. And as a young quarterback, you don't see that too often. You see them be a little more risky and be a little more dangerous with some of these throws, which I would like to see him kind of get into that realm of being a little more risky. But he takes care of the football, does not turn it over. Another thing that people aren't really talking about, the offensive line. We lost three cats to the NFL. Hunter Norzad, starting center, sixth year, was absolute baller and the leader of that offensive line. We know what Olu Fashanu was. Losing that lockdown left tackle really hurts. And then Caden Wallace had a phenomenal year this year. Another dude I think was really underrated, only allowed one sack, and someone who the fans weren't too big on, especially after his third year. He really struggled and then came back for his fourth year, only allowed one sack, decided to come back again for his fifth year, only allowed one sack against some really elite edge rushers. So I think missing that, I don't think Penn State fans realize how much they're going to miss those three guys, because now you plug in Anthony Donk at right tackle, you plug in Drew Shelton at left tackle, both guys that have a little bit of experience, but they are not Caden Wallace and Olu Fashanu. So I think what I'm a little bit worried about is Drew Aller having to be moved off of his spot and kind of just be under duress a lot, because if you kind of want to go back and look, Drew's stats this past season, when he's moved off of his spot in the pocket, are not very good. It's the bottom of the Big Ten as far as quarterbacks. So that I think that's going to be the big theme this year. Can we protect Drew Aller? And that wasn't really an issue or a thought last year, but now we have a really young offensive line outside of Sal Wormley coming back for a sixth year at right guard. These are a ton of young dudes. These are second and third year guys trying to protect Drew Aller against some really good edge rushers. Can they get the job done, and can they protect him and allow Drew to make some plays? I think the offensive line from the offensive side of the ball, I think the offensive, everybody thinks it's the wide receivers. It's going to depend on these offensive line, not to mention to protect Drew, but be able to depend on this run game. Because if Drew can have a run game that he can depend on, that makes his life exponentially easier when he says, okay, I can hand it to Nick. I can hand it to Katron. They can get me 6 or 7 yards. You start handing it to them, and then you find yourself in second and 11 or even second and 9, and you're behind the sticks. That's when it starts to get hard, and that pressure is put on your back as a quarterback. So I think the theme for the offense this year is make life as easy as possible for Drew Aller. And the way we do that is we got to protect him, and these wide receivers have to make some plays for him.
It's a big-time prove-it year for Penn State football. Landon, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. You're a busy man. Again, check out the Behind the Wall podcast on his YouTube channel. Check out everything he's doing because he's everywhere. We appreciate you, man, and best of luck with everything you have going on.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.